be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus took Peter, James, and John, and they went up on the mountain to pray. While he was praying, his face changed in appearance, and his clothes became dazzling white. And behold, two men were conversing with him, a Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his exodus that he was going to accomplish in Jerusalem. Peter and his companions had been overcome by sleep, but becoming fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As they were about to part from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But he did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud came and cast a shadow over all of them, and they became frightened when they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my chosen son. Listen to him." After the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. They fell silent, and they did not at that time tell anyone what they had seen. Sisters and brothers, the good news, the gospel of the risen Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. How many people, for your relaxation time, spend time watching television? And how many people, when you're relaxing, listen to music? And how many people, when you're relaxing, play a sport, an exercise, some kind of physical activity? And some, how many of you who, when you relax, you watch a sport, either your child playing, your spouse playing, or something on television with sports? Okay. Some people are consistent with their... The scriptures tonight invite us into an amazing moment in the midst of our Lenten journey, when we're fasting and we're doing almsgiving, and liturgically when we try to remove the images of God's glory. This is a moment, it's a beep in the middle of our Lent to say, wait a second, God is, even in the midst of Lent, standing in full glory. God is completely in control, and God reminds us that we are constantly in His embrace. This is not a time in which God hides from us and wants us to chase after Him. God is still alive and well, and we know the end of the story. We know the story ends with resurrection, right? No? Yes. Okay. Some people know that it's resurrection. So it's like watching the Titanic. You know what happens at the end of the story. So we know at the end of our story of Lent that Jesus is risen. There's no question about that. In these last few weeks, and especially this week with the Holy Father being in Mexico, the question of citizenship has come up on a variety of levels and bases. And the second reading reminds us, and it's the reason why the Holy Father said what he said and continues to say, that when it comes to citizenship, all are citizens of God's kingdom. St. Paul said it today, that no one has to fight. There's no undocumented or illegal people in God's kingdom. We are all invited. We are all welcome in the kingdom of God. And the second reading reminds us of that Christian Catholic value, that citizenship is not something we await, we earn. It is a given gift to all of us. During this Lenten season, the question is, how do I best live as a citizen of God's kingdom? Now that will be played out in different places and time, but the question is for each of us this Lenten season, how do you and I play out, live out being a citizen of the kingdom of God? Jesus gives Peter, James, and John a little vision of that kingdom. And they did what we all like to do. When we see something good, we want to keep it. If you're in love, you don't want that person to leave you. If you're at the end of a game and they're really playing well, you want to keep cheering. Let's add another quarter to the football game. Let's add some more time to the soccer team because they're doing good. We want this to keep going. If what you're baking is amazing, you don't want to give up that baking moment. You want to keep going because you're in a rhythm. Peter, James, and John had that same thing. They saw something amazing, something that is hard to explain even. And it comes in images that the face of Jesus was dazzling and everything was bright. And they felt a cloud coming upon them. And in the midst of that cloud, they heard something amazing. They didn't quite understand, but it said, "This is my son, listen to him." That was totally beyond what their experience was. That is the kingdom of heaven. That's what our citizenship is about. We are invited to claim that citizenship and allow that citizenship of ours as Christian people in the kingdom of God to invite us then to say, what must I do to live in this kingdom now? Peter, James, and John were given the experience on that mountaintop of transfiguration to say that what they saw, they needed to live now. They needed to take into their life now. Now, in their context, it was primarily, as the scripture says, because they were about to witness Jesus being accused, being on trial, being executed, and being dead. And they needed this sense of the kingdom to hold them up in the midst of that pain that they were about to experience, to hold them through that trial, whether it's your illness or someone's death or whether it's a trial of unemployment, whatever our trial, this is the image that God gives us, that in the midst of those terrible moments in our life, the kingdom of God is promised to us, is offered to us. And we're invited to remember this story in the midst of our Lent, in the midst of our struggles, in the midst of our doubts, in the midst of our wonders. How could God do this to someone in our family? Why does this happen in the world today? Why are there evil people that do terrible things? In the midst of all those human questions, God reminds us today that we are invited into a place that is brilliant, amazing, miraculous, eternal, bright and shining, full of life. All of that is promised us in the kingdom. But the promise is now. It's in the future, but it's now too. So as we move about our Lenten journey, the question is, what did I say I was going to do for Lent? Is it helping me? Is it allowing me to be more part of God's kingdom? Whether I gave up food or bad language or whatever, or whether I was going to do something extra. I was going to visit that neighbor. I was going to write that letter. I was going to respond to that email. I was going to do something positive. This is a moment where we check in and say, well, maybe as a vegetarian, maybe giving up meat wasn't all that big of a deal for me for Lent, you know? And if you hate chocolate, giving up chocolate wasn't that big of a deal. And if you gave up one meal, but you eat four meals a day, you're not, well. So this is a moment to say, you know, maybe I'm being called to something even more, something more that lifts up the kingdom. Today we are given a glimpse. I've never been a parent, but I understand that the moment of birth is often experienced like this. Parents will look at that new child and say, oh, how could this be? It's as if they've entered the cloud of unknowing, that cloud of God's presence. For many of us that accompany people dying, often at that moment of death, there is that moment where the cloud seems to descend and the person seems to walk forward into light. It might happen on the day of your graduation after years of study, or the day of your wedding, or the day of completion of a project you might stand in that moment, and that's the moment where you just know the presence of God. And God says those words not only to Jesus, but to you at that moment. You are my beloved child. And he tells other people to listen to you and me. What am I about during this Lenten season? Where might I need to redirect that? How might I be open to this gift of the citizenship of God in heaven? Pope Francis today invited us as a world to use this year of mercy to filter how we react and live in relationships. And so he invited people of faith, especially Catholic faith through the country, especially people of power, to put into place for this year at least a moratorium of the death penalty. And he continued to invite us, as he's done before, to look at the end of the death penalty. But he invited us to use this time, the last 9 months of the year of mercy, to pull back and say, how can we as a country and as a world change the way we treat people whom we deem so wrong? How can we do that differently? He invited the global people to that today. But the gospel invites us in that local place to say, how do I do that with my family and friends? How can I be more merciful in what I say to those I interact in person, online, however I do that? Lent is a moment, a specific moment, in which we are invited to say, yes, I believe in this place. This place that James and John and Peter wanted to permanently put as a temple. And Jesus said, no, and it disappeared. But you and I get to do this every day. How might I redirect my life during this Lenten season toward Easter so that others will see in my life mercy and joy and hope and all the gifts of God's Spirit? May we allow this liturgy tonight in song and prayer and praise with each other and with sacrament to lift us to that place, to experience that cloud, to hear those words to us, so that when we leave tonight, we can change our interactions with others and we can change the world.